June 11th, 2010.
Glad to have Brother Norton to bring the word this morning.
Let's turn to the book of Ruth. This is a short book, as you know. About 85 verses in the book. About 34 of the verses in the book are about Naomi, directly or indirectly. I'm not so sure there's not more verses about Naomi than there are about Ruth. But there are lots that's stated about her. Naomi is a focal point and a key person in the book. And I think, as you will see, she was driving the process with Ruth. God used Naomi in the life of Ruth. So we're going to look at the ending of the story first. As Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. As we read, we're going to be beginning with verse 13. Focus on what's said about Naomi. Notice the contentment, and notice the joy, and notice the rest, and notice the peace that we see in her life. And notice the phrases, restorer of life, nourisher of old age, a son born to Naomi. Powerful phrases describing the end of her life, a victorious life, as you will see. I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 10. So beginning with verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her bosom, and became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. I'd like for us to look at the choices and the decisions and the steps that led up to this ending. And I think this is the kind of ending that we all should desire for our own lives. There are four choices I'd like to point out to you in chapter 1 of Ruth. In verse 1 of chapter 1, I'd like for you to notice three words. Went to dwell. That was the first step in her life. In verse 6, there's two words I'd like for you to notice. She arose. In verse 7, there are three words. She went out. And in verse 22, we see the fourth step in her life. Naomi returned. 10 words describing 10 years of her life. We will not have time to drill down with all of the choices that she made, but I'd like to give you an overview. Her story gives us hope. Naomi gives us hope for those that are living in a foreign land, for those that might be in a strange land, for those that are living in Moab. What a wonderful ending to her life. She can be an example for us. She can be a model for us because we see a victorious life. Just a quick snapshot of Naomi's life. We see the glowing testimony that we just read, but it was not always that way. She had a husband. She had two sons. She had two daughters-in-law. She evidently was born and raised in Bethlehem, Judah, and she left for Moab, and she lived there for 10 years. Her husband died, and her sons died. She returned to Bethlehem, Judah, and Ruth went with her. Naomi gave counsel to Ruth. She gave wisdom to Ruth. She gave understanding to Ruth. She was directing her life to some measure. And we see her heart, we see Naomi's heart through this book of Ruth. Naomi's decisions teach us, instruct us, show us the way. We want our lives to end up the same way, overcoming as was Naomi's. And we can identify with Naomi. She's a way out for those that might be living in Moab, for those that are wayward, for those that might be prodigals, for the carnal Christian. You know, we can be carnally minded, and we can be spiritually minded. Living in Moab represents certainly the carnally minded, and living in Bethlehem, Judah certainly would represent the spiritually minded. Paul spoke of these two minds in Romans 8, and we heard about the struggle in Romans 7 this week. We see the principle and the doctrine of identification in this story, but let's look at the times in which she lived, the story and the backdrop of her choices. Who said it was the best of times? And it was the worst of times. Charles Dickens, yeah, I heard somebody. Who said, he's known for that. We see both in the story of Naomi. We see the best of times and the worst of times. But I think the times magnify her testimony. They bring out her testimony. The depravity of mankind is a dark backdrop to the love of Christ. We see the extremes in Naomi's life. This was a time of the judges. It was an awful time. It was a terrible time. They called good evil and evil good. And the story of Naomi transpires during this period. It takes place during the times of wickedness. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 1, in the days when the judges ruled. In passing, I would say we live in a dark, evil time, as Bruce mentioned in his message. What strikes me about Naomi is the deplorable, tragic situation that she was in. She finds herself in Moab, and how she does a 180, how she breaks out, how she breaks loose, how she's redeemed. A choice to go to Moab creates what? Death and heartache. And then a decision to go back to Bethlehem, Judah, creates peace and righteousness. Judah creates peace and righteousness. Opposite cultures is what we're looking at. What would the application be for us? We see in the story how we can turn our lives around. We may be in Moab, figuratively speaking. We have an opportunity to learn from Naomi. In our story, we see a believer living in Bethlehem, Judah, and then in Moab, and then returning to Bethlehem, Judah. Does that remind you of Christians? Perhaps of yourself, one foot in the world and one foot in the Spirit, walking after the flesh or walking after the Spirit? Does it remind you that we have two natures? The flesh and the spirit, and there's a struggle within. Remember the ending. Now we want to backfill. We want to see how she got to this ending. What were the steps that she took? We want to see how she got to that ending that we read. You know, end visions can have a great impact on our life. The people without a vision will perish. You've heard that from Proverbs. I do a lot of work in the inner city. And many times we'll ask young people, what would you like to do when you graduate from high school? We had one young man. We asked him what he wanted to do. He said, I want to be like my father. I want to be like my uncles. Well, what does your father do? What do your uncles do? He said, they're all in prison. He had a vision to go to prison one day. I know that's a foreign concept to us. There was a young lady that I've worked with over the years, and she used to hide in a closet with a big butcher knife because they would have wild parties on the weekend. And she was afraid something would happen to her or to her younger sister. They would have lots of drugs and alcohol. And she would hide with that knife. She slept with that knife till she was 24 years old. But the good news is she came to know Jesus. And every time I think of her, I think about the power of the resurrection, because she broke out of that. And she's a fine young lady today. And now she gives out the gospel to other young people in the inner city. But Naomi's story can be an encouragement to us, an encouragement to others. She went from one extreme to the other extreme. She turned her life around. She went from the world of Moab to the house of bread in the land of praise. It says she went out full, and she came back empty, but then she became full again, which is the end of the story. There are so many things that we can relate to from the life of Naomi. There are lessons from the life of Naomi to glean. Naomi's life involved tragedy. It involved heartache. and loss of loved ones and death and emptiness and distress and famine and dire circumstances and bondage, the Lord afflicting her, the Lord bringing misfortune, the Lord testifying against her. And yet, we see victory, and we see abundance, and we see joy unspeakable, and we see guidance from God, and counsel from God, and wisdom from God to Naomi. Naomi, in her life, we see God's providence. We see His sovereignty. We see God's concern for Naomi. We see God's plan for Naomi. We see God testing Naomi and God afflicting Naomi and judging and loving and directing and preserving and giving her this glowing testimony we started with. God was active in the life of Naomi. What's the application for us? God wants to be active in our lives. God was active in her life in Moab to get her out. And when you're in a dry place spiritually, believe God wants to be active in your life and help you. He's for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Have hope that God wants you out of Moab. God wants to be intimately active in your life. God wanted Naomi out of Moab. How do we know that? He got her out. That's how we know. We know the end of the story. Ezra said, revival in bondage. We certainly see revival in bondage in the life of Naomi. What about us? You know, our hearts can be in Moab. A portion of our hearts and our minds can be in Moab. God wants us in Bethlehem, Judah. He wants us in the house of bread. He wants us in the land of praise. And He wants all of our hearts in the house of bread. God dealt with Naomi, and God deals with us. The Holy Spirit comes to do what? To convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment to come on the world. God wanted Naomi to have His best, and God wants us to have His best. As Christians, we can live in Moab. We can walk according to the flesh. We can walk after the flesh. In Romans 8 there, where it talks about walking after the flesh, it means to be under. It means to be dominated by the flesh. Carnal Christians have a portion of their heart in Moab. We all know people living like this, our loved ones, business associates, neighbors. Naomi was the source for Ruth. There is no way that Ruth could have said the things she said in chapter 1, which we always talk about, unless Naomi was speaking into her life. And Naomi was testifying. Naomi was the source of her faith. And Ruth knew about Naomi's Jehovah. Ruth knew about Naomi's God. Ruth had faith to leave. Ruth made these statements of faith in chapter 1. How? Because Naomi had been sharing her faith and testifying to her. God used Naomi in the life of Ruth. And God used Naomi to really speak into her life. God used Naomi to get Ruth out of Moab and into Bethlehem, Judah. And what else? Into the lineage of Christ. Now, specifically, let's look at the four steps. In verse 1, went to dwell. Another translation, went to sojourn. Another translation, went to live. And then a paraphrase, moved to land Moab. She left with her husband. She left with her two sons. What a short span of time for so much to have transpired in her life. As a result of went to dwell, she was left with two daughters-in-law. They were Moabites. They were Moabite girls. And there was a curse on the Moabites to the 10th generation. They had their families. They had their gods. They had their idolatry. Naomi was in quite a situation. She was in quite a predicament. Her circumstances were horrific. I think we can all agree upon that. And what does this add up to? She was in a strange land. Psalm 137:4 says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The whole issue in a strange land is a theme of the Bible. We see it from Genesis through Revelation. Virgil, a number of years ago, did an excellent message on being in a strange land and being in a foreign land. It was an excellent message. I'm not trying to say he hadn't done any other good messages since then. He did another good one in 2009. I remember that. What are you laughing about? Here I'm trying to defend Virgil, and I'm saying it to his face, not when he's not here. Oh, ye of little faith. He really can do a good message once in a while. Come on. So Naomi was in Moab. She must have known the hatred of the Moabites. She was an outsider. She must have known the Moabites were the enemy of God's people. She must have known prejudice. She was a Jew. We've talked about the hatred of the Jews before. I'm looking forward to the series on Jerusalem. But normally the votes in the UN are 144-4 against Israel. You know what the four nations are that vote for Israel? Israel, the United States, Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands. And for all practical purposes, the United States has thrown Israel under the bus as well. These are God's chosen people, and there's such prejudice against them. Schofield says one half of the Bible is about Israel and how the nations of the world relate to Israel. Gabeline said four-fifths, but any way you slice it or dice it, there's a lot about Israel and the Jews. And there's an insidious theology going around today, and it's in the church. It started in the church, and it's called replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel. Church fathers, here are some of the things they said about the Jews. Jews are a perverse people, accursed of God. The Jews are a brood of vipers. Jerome described them as serpents, wearing the image of Judas. Their prayers and their psalms are the brain of donkeys. Jews are inveterate murderers possessed by the devil. Their debauchery and drunkenness gives them the manner of pigs. And I could go on and on. It's the opposite of dispensationalism. Moab was the incestuous son of Lot. Not much good said about Moab in the Word of God. In Psalm 108:9, it says, Moab is a washpot. Think about all the things that go into a washpot. Jeremiah 48:1, this is the message of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, against Moab. And when you trace the history of Moab, it doesn't seem to be very much at all said good about Moab. Moab's not a place where a Christian wants to be found. And yet, that's where we find so many believers. And we find Naomi in our story. When we make the decision or the choices to go to a strange land, the results are normally not very positive. The results are not going to be uplifting and beneficial. Normally, we see negative consequences. There's exceptions to that. Mordecai and Esther and Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, God took them to a foreign land and they prospered spiritually. But we can relate to Naomi. She had trials. She was being tested. I don't know what you're going through. I just can't possibly imagine a situation being too much worse than what we read about in the life of Naomi. The only one I can really think of is Job, and a lot happened to that man. In step 2 in verse 6, she arose. She decided to return. Naomi prepared to return. She could have stayed in Moab. She could have felt embarrassed. She could have settled down, felt shame, lots of things to distract her from returning. Oh, what will people think? I have nothing. God has judged me for coming. People will think it's because of my unfaithfulness, because I've sinned. And all of those thoughts could have crossed her mind before she returned. And I'm sure they did and more. What if Naomi had just justified herself? Well, I'm here. Well, there's no turning back. It is what it is. I'm staying no matter what. You know, God brought me here because of the famine. I've got two daughters-in-law. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to take care of them. There are a number of things that she could have said to justify herself. Let's not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. The arose factor in verse 6. I want to spend some time on this. Very key to turning back to God if you're in Moab, to turning broken lives around, to leaving Moab, to returning to Bethlehem, Judah, to victory, to overcoming, to the place of full blessing. We need a mindset, a decision to go back, to return. The arose factor. I looked up the word arose. It's used 174 times in the Bible. And there are so many places where we see people that they arose and they took the victory. Deborah arose and went with Barak. Abraham's servant arose and went to find a bride for Isaac. Rebekah arose and her maids followed the man. Moses arose up. Joshua arose and all the people. Gideon arose and slew Zebah. Many instances where God's people arose and took the victory. Actually, the Hebrew meaning of the word is interesting. Abide, accomplish, succeed. Others that arose in the Bible, and the valiant men arose. Abigail arose and hastened. She arose and bowed. Naomi arose. She prepared to go back. The arose factor is what I call it. And we can also. She arose was based on what? Faith. She had to have faith to go back. It took faith to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. It took faith for her to start. It takes faith to be in God's will. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bethlehem, Judah tells us something about her faith. You know, there's four kinds of faith that are mentioned in the Bible. There's strong faith, great faith, weak faith, and little faith. She had strong faith to go back. She was going back to Bethlehem, Judah. She arose. She arose to do what? She started for where? The house of bread in the land of praise. Now, we know she could have gone somewhere else. She could have left Moab. She didn't have to go to Bethlehem, Judah. But we know the end of the story. And we know she made the right choice. She took the right step. She started in the right direction, the correct choice. She arose in the right path. She arose to go in the right direction towards the house of bread in the land of praise. And step two was the beginning. It was the answer to her trials and can be for us as well. Step three, verse 7, she went out. She went forth. She left the place. So she set out. She literally stepped out. She took a step. In step two, she prepared to go. Now we see her taking those steps and going to Bethlehem, Judah. She had made up her mind. Have you ever noticed with Christians their intentions, and they don't always match up with their actions? What they say doesn't always match up with what they do. Well, she arose up and she went out. She didn't have to go to Bethlehem, Judah. This one step changed everything. This one step in the right direction was transforming. This one step involved a change of her mindset. Thinking about a non-believer, Brother Freestone mentioned that, but when you accept Christ as your Savior, think about all the things that transpire in your life and how you're transformed. Well, Naomi's step was towards the house of bread, back to Judah. One step changed and transformed her life. Do you know people that need to take this one step back to Bethlehem, Judah? You have any friends, loved ones, neighbors, people you know, Christians that are walking after the flesh, Christians that are walking in darkness and despair, not maturing? There's hope. Naomi was an example. She is an example. There is a way out. In step three, in verse 7, she went out. You know, there can be degrees of going out. Abraham stopped in Haran on the way. When they came through the Red Sea, they got hung up in the wilderness. And everyone died that was 20 years of age or older, except for two people, Caleb and Joshua. They didn't go all the way, is my point. But in the case of Naomi, she went all the way. She totally returned to Bethlehem, Judah. Ever think about Christians that they're convicted by the Holy Spirit? Maybe this is your situation. You're convicted and you partially surrender. You partially will submit. And there can be that portion of your heart where you say, I'll give God that portion of my heart, but I'm not going to give God that portion. I've heard the heart being likened to acres. God can plow these acres, but I'm not going to let him plow that acre. Verse 22, Naomi returned. But notice in verse 20, she said, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. She states, "The Lord has dealt with me. The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune." That scripture was mentioned the other day. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray," is what David said. It's good to be afflicted when you're living in Moab. We need to be convicted. Verse 22, Naomi returned, and they came to Bethlehem, Judah. When did they return? At the beginning of the barley harvest, a time of fruitfulness, a time of abundance. And we know the rest of the story. We know the ending. Talk about a fairy tale story and a fairy tale ending. She had God's best. But that could be our story. That can be our ending. Well, the same God that worked in the life of Naomi and led Naomi and directed Naomi and directed her paths and her steps, will he do the same for us? Well, the application is no. Moab can represent indifference in our lives. It can represent complacency. I just want you to know I've had that word in my notes for a long time, and Brother Freestone plagiarized my notes and gave that lesson today. Moab can represent laxity. It can be a dry place. And we don't care. We're just satisfied just to have God's good. We could care less about going on with God and maturing and growing. God's best just isn't important. We're going to have to go outside the camp if we don't. We're living in Moab. If we're in Moab, we need to see it. We need to assess the situation and recognize where we are. Moab comes in different forms. Moab can be the cares of life that choke out the Word of God and cause us to be unfruitful. Moab can be the pleasures of life that choke out the Word of God and cause us to be unfruitful. Or the riches of life. Not something sinful. We're just kind of complacent. Moab can be neglect of reading God's Word. Give attendance to reading. Moab can be neglect of studying God's Word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It can be neglect of our prayer life. It can be neglect of worship. Complacency toward God. Complacency of time, not redeeming the time. Moab just can be flat out indifference. Indifference towards spiritual matters. Well, Moab can be for us an attitude. Or Moab can be a mindset, our thought life. We need to cast down vain imaginations or hardening of the heart. Moab can be separation from Bethlehem, Judah. There's more on Naomi, but I just want to review these four steps. One, she went to dwell. Two, she arose. Three, she went out. Four, Naomi returned. And then we've already read the end of the story. Two cultures are contrasted in this story. They're as different as night and day. Sin and grace are contrasted here. Tyranny is replaced by love in our story. Defeat is wiped out. It's wiped away by triumph. Death is swallowed up by victory. Moab can represent spiritual poverty, while Bethlehem, Judah represents abundance. Well, do you think you're abiding in Bethlehem, Judah? Today? Right now? If so, continue on. Stay the course. But if not, apply these steps that Naomi took to your life. These steps can transform us. And they will transform you and others that may be living in Moab. As we bring this message to a close, let me just summarize. Her life, Naomi's life, was a disaster. But it was spectacular. It was stellar. And we see that contrast. Coming out of death and darkness and coming into peace and righteousness and light. Coming out of despair and loneliness into joy and contentment. Her decisions made the difference. But what about us? Do we have any Naomis here today? Paul said to follow after me as I follow after Christ. I'm sure people have prayed. I'd like to be like the Apostle Paul. And there's others, maybe like Abraham and have his faith. You ever prayed to be a Naomi before? Are you a Naomi? Do you want to be a Naomi? Are you helping others to come out of Moab? She helped Ruth come out. God wants to use us to give out this gospel that will transform lives. And for those that are living in Moab, and we know lots that are living in Moab, are you helping people to reach Bethlehem, Judah? Will your ending be a Naomi's ending? Do you have a vision to have your ending be like hers? Let's turn back and read the end of the story again. Verse 13, chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth. She became his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you, Naomi, this day without a close relative, Naomi, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you, Naomi, a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, Ruth, who loves you, is better to you, Naomi, than seven sons has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There's a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David.